Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
When was the last time you thanked God for your healthcare? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at redeemhealthshare.org.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from United Healthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
Happy Tuesday to everybody.
Show got that right.
Oh, very nice. I'm reading the stream.
Yeah.
I haven't been here.
And to yourself.
To myself. I'm reading silently.
At least there was music going.
That's so funny. Now, Robert Walsh is with us all the time, says, I want to say thank you to Mike and Dave for the, and there you have it, powerful, poignant, and close to home. That's nice.
Yeah, the podcast Dave did with Mike Bush is up on the Dave Glover Show Facebook page. Go follow us there if you haven't already, and check out that podcast. I watched it this weekend as well. Really enjoyed it.
Good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I did not watch it. Because I popped it up and my head looked like a pumpkin.
Oh, that's not true.
And so I decided not to watch.
You're funny.
I have a shout out. Is it okay to get a shout out in first thing in the show? This is a shout out to Beth and her son, Devin. So he played in his first college football game at Northern Illinois University on Saturday, and they won. It's a D1 school. He's a freshman there. They were so super excited. I meant to do this shout out on Friday in advance of the game. Mm. I failed at that, but congratulations to the team. They won on Saturday, so shout out to Devin.
Isn't that Kurt Warner? Or was he Iowa?
Northern Iowa, I believe.
Okay. Yeah.
Exciting stuff, though.
That's cool. Very cool. Weekend, everything good for everybody? It seemed long.
Yeah, it was weird.
It did feel long.
Yeah.
When you add last week and this week.
Yeah.
With like the day off and then a day game and then a short week and then a long week. It's been weird. It's like it's almost like the holidays.
Right.
You're just like, ugh, how does this microphone work?
Mm-hmm. I feel like I haven't seen you guys in a long time.
We've all aged.
I wasn't going to say anything.
We didn't age like Belichick, though.
I'm waiting for the aging stick. Like, remember we did a story this year that you get hit at 40?
Yeah.
And you get hit at 60.
Oh.
And I didn't get hit at 60, but I'm 61 Saturday.
Gotcha.
Which is a terrible number.
Why?
Ugh.
It's the biggest one of the biggest numbers in baseball history.
Yeah.
There's a whole ass movie made about it.
Yeah. It's not good at your age.
It's a good movie, too. Well, yeah.
Somehow, like, I just started to say, not ironically, I'm not a numerologist.
I do want to get this out of the way and clarify.
Just in case anyone was confused by my encyclopedic knowledge of numbers. But numbers do have an effect on me. And 61 sounds worse than 6 with anything else after it. I'm not sure why.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just weird.
I understand. I mean, we don't agree. Like, 61 doesn't sound crazy to any of us, but I know where you're coming from, so. Are you excited for your birthday at all?
Not really. Not really. Like, you know, the kids are gone. Nick's on a vacation, and you know, it'll be fine. It'll be what it is. No big deal. Mm-hmm. I used to be such a birthday person, but very performatively. Like, it's so nice to be this new version of me, where instead of just being diabolical, I can call myself out on being diabolical, and it's much more chill. But I, the same way that I used to wear sandals until Thanksgiving, so that people go like, he's so crazy. I used to, like, that was a thing as well, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's very performative.
All right. The world needs a show, man.
Well, they got it with me.
Well, you could say that multiple ways, right? The world needs a show, comma, man. Or the world needs a showman. And either one of them works.
I think I've ruined movies, though, for me. Like, remember, I didn't love Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched F1. Maybe I just should stop paying $19.99 for movies.
Yeah, that's less likable problem. That way.
Now,
yeah.
F1 was not supposed to be a great movie, and a lot of people didn't like Superman. You're definitely not on an island there. But it's also like, I can't fathom having a good time sitting on my couch and dropping $20 on a movie. I just can't possibly. Like, that is such a high barrier for entry at a time when we are used to just getting that stuff for free.
Yeah, it's not even so much that. I just think it's sort of like, I feel like it's cursed when I do that. But Janelle, I think, nailed it when she was talking about how, I think the biggest thing is TikTok. There's no doubt in my mind, all kidding aside, all like TikTok brain aside, I have TikTok brain. My brain is now trained to watch things in 3-second increments. And I get really bored after 60 seconds. And so sitting down for like a 2.5-hour movie, ugh, that's rough. That's rough.
Yeah. I got both modes. You just change speeds.
Yeah, I have trouble with that these days.
The thing is that to pay $20 to see a movie, I'm fine doing that if I'm going to the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm going to the theater, it means it's something I really want to see. It's some kind of big blockbuster movie. Yeah. It's not just a movie. I would be like, I'm not paying $20. I'll wait another 2 months or whatever. Because I think it would. I think it would impact my enjoyment of the movie. Because if it's great, I'd be like, I don't care. I'll spend $20 because I know it's great. If it ends up being even just decent, it's like, okay, that's a disappointment.
It really goes to show you, though, how important direction and script and screenplay are. Because I think Brad Pitt's a really good actor. I think Javier Bardem is a great actor. And they both looked like they were doing their first movie. Mm. It was very over the top, very I'm just reading my lines. And they're the same actors. Like, they didn't lose their skill.
Yeah.
It, you know, just that's always fascinating to me.
Janelle does point out on the stream that F1 was a theater movie, in her opinion. And
one to see in the theater, you mean?
Right, correct.
Yeah, I agree.
And by the way, if you're wondering, the stream we're always referencing, you can check that out on the Dave Glover Show Facebook page or on YouTube. Just search Dave Glover Show 2000. You can watch us there. We stream every time the show is on. So check us out, please.
Man, I just keep finding new ways to be anxious.
Oh, no.
So Nick flew to France over the weekend.
What? That's cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's living his little Glover life, isn't he?
No kidding.
And I did it once, but just the thought now, I have weird claustrophobia. Like, if you put me in a closet, as long as I know you're coming back in a couple of minutes, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to, like, go crazy. But it's more situational. And even though I know flying across the country, if something bad happens, we're probably not landing on someone's farm road. At least I know it's possible. Whereas being over the ocean mm-hmm. for 5 or 6 or 7 hours. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which makes me really sad because I had planned to do that again. And now unless I take the Lusitania or something, I'm probably not going to go back to Europe.
Ah, you could do it.
I would have to be
medicate
really
yourself.
Knocked out. Like, can't wake him up, knocked out. Like, call the sheriff, knocked out.
We got an app for that.
Propofol. Like Michael Jackson.
Like, give me the good stuff.
Is it because you're just so convinced that it would be your flight of all of the flights?
No, it is 100% fearing the fear.
Okay.
I really don't think I'm going to crash.
But you don't want to deal with the anxiety.
Yes.
No,
yes.
I get it. I have that problem with the dentist. I've only had one really bad experience at the dentist.
When the guy put the other guy's tooth in your mouth?
Two bad experiences at the dentist. I forgot about that one. That was not great either. But it's never like a horrible experience. You know, they numb you up. You don't really even feel anything when you're there.
Doing.
They know what they're doing, but I'm so terrified of it that I don't make the appointments that I probably need because it's like I don't want to feel the terror that I'm going to feel or whatever, which is stupid, but I can't help it.
Mm. Yeah.
I understand.
Then lately I've been having a little bit of healthcare anxiety.
Really?
Yeah, which I've never had, thank God. I have a few friends who have it really bad, and I still don't have it where it's like, oh, did you hear that Nancy has COVID? Oh, my God, I have COVID. I'm not like that. It's more like big, terrible things. Like, I have a few people in my life going through cancer treatment now, and I can honestly say I've never worried about it. It's not something I just kind of knew I would never get it. Does that make sense? But now suddenly I'm like, well, that's a stupid thought to have. Like, what? Based on what, you're not going to get it. Of course you could. And so I just had like this rude awakening over the weekend. I think because I've always had this unnatural thought that I won't get it, and that went away, and suddenly I'm like, well, here we go. Here we go. It's a terrible way to live your life, Kev.
It sounds rough.
Yeah, I'm sorry you're going through that. That's not good. It's not good.
It's not good.
Yeah, and if you can remind yourself that worrying about it is not going to save you from anything or help you if it is in fact true.
Dude, I've tried it all.
One of the most helpful things I've ever seen is this like four-leg chart that's like the gist of the chart is to illustrate to you that if you worry about something and then it doesn't happen, you're suffering, and if you worry about it and then it does happen, you're suffering twice as much as you need to. And if you don't worry about it and it doesn't happen, then you're not suffering at all. But if you worry, no matter what happens, you're giving yourself that suffering.
Yeah.
And it's helped me a fair amount to keep telling myself that over and over again.
I get that, and I honor that, and I've done 20 years of therapy, and that was useful. But, like, Phoebe has that thing where she passes out when she gets her blood taken.
Mm.
You can tell her it's going to be fine as much as you want.
Sure.
And it doesn't help her feel any better. And I'm not afraid of lots of things. And people are. And you can tell them, like, why are you so afraid of trains? Why are you so afraid of dogs? They're, you know, but it just, if it's your thing, it just doesn't help. Yeah, it just doesn't help. Okay. On the plus side, I'm really good at the hat game at Busch Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I've seen you do it.
Yes.
Undisputed champ.
You should go pro.
No one tries harder than me.
There's
not a 10-year-old kid in that stadium who's tracking it harder than me.
TikTok brain goes out the window and Dave is able to hyper-focus.
Absolutely.
You won't find me in a folks home. You got that right.
On KMOX. I am literally physically relieved that it's September. I know that we can get to the 90s again. I'm hoping we don't. But just something about the member months and just, I just feel like a little kid when you're in the middle of the pool and you're panicking to get to the side of the pool. Like, okay, I made it. It's September.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, this weather has been so nice. It could not feel more like, I have to go to school after this. Like, when I'm outside in the mornings, I'm like, I gotta go get on the bus. Like,
when am I gonna get my trapper keeper?
So true. Isn't that funny how strong that bond is?
Oh, yeah.
That memory of that. It's so true.
Do you guys remember, like, particularly in September, going to school and in the morning it was so cold, but it was like, well, I'm not gonna wear a jacket because it's gonna be hot
fight.
By recess. I don't wanna lug that around all day. So you're shivering, trying to make it work.
So, Wheels, when I was in grade school, I had these pajamas. They were St. Louis Football Cardinals pajamas. They were yellow, and they were the tightest thing any man's ever had on his body. So you could pretty much do a physical exam of me if you get the idea. And I'm a little kid, and I would wear them to school. and you can't wear tight-fitting pajamas to fourth grade. And so they would call my mom, and she would come get me, and I'd get in trouble again. And my dad would give me the "you're a little freak" talk. And so then I started hiding my pajamas in the bushes, and I would change on the
What was it about them?
I just thought they made me look cool.
It was a total vibes thing.
It was affirmative. It wasn't like, I'm a real freak here.
Yeah, you were just I like them. And
they just don't get it.
Yeah.
Everyone will be wearing these next year.
I get you.
Yeah.
I get you. You were just ahead of your time.
Yes, I was. In so many ways.
Look at all the youngs now. They rock around with their PJs all the time.
Yep. That's right.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dave was just early.
Yep.
Always early. Always early. young people say that hard work no longer leads to any sort of gain.
Interesting.
I think that's a bit overgeneralized, but I understand completely the view. Because what is it? I mean, what's the pattern been a lot lately? It's not 100%, but what's the pattern? You get a place, you get a good job, you work really hard, you get a couple promotions, and then you get too expensive, you get let go.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if you're in their generation, and maybe that happened to your dad or your mom, or, you know, you're seeing it with other people around you. I mean, it's hard to argue with the logic, even though, again, none of it is 100%, right? Because if you don't work your ass off, you ain't getting anywhere, I can promise you that. If you do, at least there's a chance you will.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
No one's just going to find you and give you stuff.
That's exactly right. Like, if you decide it's not worth working, well, then you're just deciding you ain't making anything. You'll be at the level that you're at.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't put time into it, there's no chance. But I get what the point is. Like, why go extra when I don't get extra?
I think a lot of it, too, and we've talked about this any number of times in the show, is that, so my dad worked for a company. He was a union carpenter. But a lot of people from that era worked for companies, got the gold watch, got the retirement, got the pension, had loyalty. Loyalty went back and forth. That seems to have died on the vine. I mean, I'm sure it still happens. People still love their company and feel like they have their back, but I don't feel like that's the rule anymore.
Sometimes I think you work for a company and you don't feel like the company loves you.
Like Odyssey.
And I'm not calling out any companies here, but if you don't feel like the company loves you, it can be hard to be like, you know, then you start feeling like a chump. Then you start feeling like a simp or something.
Yeah.
Not simping for the company that doesn't love me back. Come on now.
I mean, this isn't even just like anecdotal stuff from younger workers. It's been studied that the only way, well, not the only way, but the primary way now to improve your work situation is to change jobs, because there isn't upward mobility the way that there used to be. So if you want to go up, you've got to take your resume and your experience and go to a place that's offering more or has a better job. And then companies wonder why people won't stay and keep leaving. Well, people want a chance to move up, man. You want a chance to, even if it's not in title, you want to be able to make more money. You want to be able to maybe grab some more vacation days. Otherwise, what's the point of staying in a place?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's going to be so weird, isn't it? To, like, when we retire, to watch what happens next and be able to really just watch. Although we can't just watch because we have kids.
Yeah.
So we'll be invested in the game.
I mean, we're always, yeah.
Man, if I didn't have these silly kids, I would just be judging everyone.
You just sounded
look at
like,
everything falling apart.
He just sounded like a Scooby-Doo villain. If it weren't for these damn kids.
Now, not only do I have to worry about my life, I have to worry about their life. It's a sucker's bet, I tell you.
Yeah.
So you had a good tennis today?
I did. I had a great tennis today. Great morning.
You've come a long way.
I have. I really have. Sometimes
it's been transformative.
Yes. And a lot of, like, lately I find myself comparing to, like, last summer. And it's leaps and bounds. I have made leaps and bounds. I'm not good at tennis by any means, but I have gotten much, much better. And it's very satisfying.
It is.
It's cool.
Yeah. To do something physical that seems impossible and improve at it is one of life's great pleasures.
Mm-hmm.
And frustrations when you don't improve the way you think you should.
Mm-hmm.
Or when you hit your ceiling, like we were talking about today. Your talent ceiling.
And in the big things. Yeah,
do you
yeah.
think it's possible to break a talent ceiling, or do you think a ceiling is a ceiling?
You know what? Don't answer that. Let's ask Ricky that. That is a great question. It's a great question. Yeah.
I think preview answer, I don't know that it's the same for everything.
Yeah.
I think in some places it is possible, and I think in other areas it's not impossible. But like, for example, I'm never outrunning. No matter what I do, no matter how hard I worked, I was never going to be Usain Bolt.
Yeah, I'm not dunking the basketball.
There's no chance I was ever going to be able to run like that. Just physiologically, you can give me the best nutrition and training from the time I was 3 years old. I was never going to run like that.
Matthew online says, you all get paid to have group therapy for 4 hours, but it's not private. Truer words. So true. Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Tuesday to you. Ricky Horton joins us. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Dave. Happy day to you. How is everything?
Everything's good. I had another Ricky Horton day yesterday at the ballpark.
Oh, you did?
Remember when I had the seats right below you?
Yes.
So I went to the game yesterday. I had the exact same seats. And I get there. I always get there early. I like the pregame stuff. And the lady behind me is talking to her husband or whoever will listen. And she goes, I didn't even have to catch a foul ball. Ricky Horton just gave me this one. I'm like, you... pardon me.
So did she tell you why I gave her the ball? Did she tell you that?
She did in great detail. And I just kept getting pissed her and pissed her.
So just to let your audience know, I had several papers sitting up on the ledge in the broadcast booth getting ready, and I'm taking a phone call, and I look out, and several of those papers go flying out of the booth down below, and I'm like, uh-oh. And I didn't even know what they were. I couldn't remember where I put what I put in that particular stack. And I look down below, and this kind lady is running them all down for me. And I thought, what a nice thing for her to do. So that's why I gave her a ball.
Nice. That was very nice.
Yes.
Very nice.
It's a good move.
Still made me jealous.
Dave, did you pick up any papers?
No, but I was like, those are my papers to pick up.
I know you would have helped me if you would have been there at that, saw that moment. Yeah, you would have. Yeah, 100%.
Rick, first Dave question of the day, and I understand that there are a gazillion ways this could go depending on the player and the pitcher and the coach and everything. But in general, we've all seen it happen a million times over our lives of watching baseball. In general, what are the mound visits like? What's the conversation like when the pitching coach comes out?
Yeah, I mean, well, they can vary a little bit, and I think it varies on the personality of the pitcher because, you know, they know each other so well. The pitching coach by this time has had how many conversations with any given pitcher, you know, going back to spring training, for goodness sake. So, you know, they're kind of like big brother, teacher, mentor, you know, everything with them and you know, motivator. And so it's like, well, what does he need? You end up knowing what they need. And so you try to kind of cater your comments to that. Sometimes it's mechanical. I always felt like the best thing a pitching coach could do with mechanics is tell you just one thing. Don't tell me 10 things, because if it imagine, you know, you're on a golf course, you're trying to fix your swing and they tell you 10 things. Well, you know, which one worked? I don't know. I mean, you can only kind of get that trigger thing straight. And so I thought Mike Rourke, who was our pitching coach back in the 80s, was phenomenal at doing that. And sometimes it's just kind of getting them to think about what's next, getting them past the bad thing that has caused me to come out here and talk to you anyway. And let's just talk about the next guy, because sometimes that reorients your mind.
Yeah, it was always an interesting thing to figure out on the catcher's side, but because you know, it wasn't the big leagues and we didn't have limits on visits or anything like that. So you knew some guys needed that, what you're talking about, like get focused on the next thing. Stop worrying about what's over. Some guys needed you to point out a girl in the stands to get their mind off of being angry. Other guys needed you to get out there and bark at them a little bit. And it's just we kind of get a feel for what they're needing.
I had that job in high school. We had a pitcher in high school who was like nervous beyond like big time nervous guy. And he's still a really good friend of mine. And except he would get kind of panicky, threw hard, but kind of was like, uh-oh, big serious situation. And the coach had it worked out with me. I played first base when I didn't pitch. For me to go, when he was getting nervous, go over to him and tell him a joke. And that was my job, to go tell him a joke and to talk about some of the girls that were in the stands watching him and, you know, kind of go there. And the idea was he just needed to get off of the tension of the moment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what I mean, so that kind of sounds like, you know, Bull Durham a little bit, but that's kind of how it was. And so my favorite catcher, it was Michael Valliere in this regard, because his favorite thing to do, because he was very cerebral, kind of the guy that could do the New York Times crossword puzzle in 5 minutes, he'd come out and say, okay, now which way do you want to get this guy out? I know you can do it a couple of different ways. Which way do you want to go? And it's like, oh, so there's multiple ways I can get this guy out. That's and great. He thinks that. So that really helped me confidence-wise.
Yeah.
Rick, the next question, I wish I could take credit for it because I think it's an interesting one, but it's actually from Andrew. Wheels and I were having that classic old athlete discussion about when he realized he wasn't the best guy on his college team or when I realized I wasn't going to play soccer in college XYZ. And I called it the talent ceiling. And Andrew asked, can the talent ceiling be breached? So we wanted to ask you that question.
Yeah, you know, I think so. I think you break through it. I mean, kudos to Andrew. How about that? Andrew coming up big with the question. I'll still give you credit for it, Dave, but an assist to Andrew on that because you asked it so well. But I feel like when I went to college, I was just a dude. I was not kind of you know, one of the main guys. I was the fifth starter, and I just, you know, and I would say I was on several teams where I wasn't very well. Not a lot of expectations for me. And so I think you can kind of break through a ceiling and sometimes that's finding a new pitch. Sometimes that's just getting better. Sometimes that's developing, getting stronger. It could be a whole bunch of things, learning more about the craft. I mean, I think that's very possible to kind of break through kind of those expectations. But yeah, you know, eventually, you know, that runs out. You run out of your bag of tricks.
Right.
But when I was trying to stay in the big leagues after my career was on the decline, I literally tried everything to break through and nothing was working, so that I was at my ceiling.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of, Ricky, my answer was that there are a lot of things where the ceiling can be broken or pushed through, and there are other things that it ain't happening.
That's right.
Right. Yeah. And it just, it's every skill is different. So like the analogy I used was, I was born 5'8". I was never, ever biologically going to run like Usain Bolt, no matter what nutrition I had, no matter what training I had, no matter when I started. I was never going to be that.
You can't wake up and be taller. You can't wake up and be faster. I mean, I couldn't wake up and throw 95. I mean, would have liked to have done that, but couldn't. So, so then there's another way to break through that ceiling, and that could be, you know, developing a new pitch or being more deceptive or whatever it might be from a pitcher's point of view. And hitters do the same thing. And I think all athletes do that. You find your little niche that works, that your little advantage. And, you know, there are guys pitching in the big leagues right now. I think of Brent Suter, who, you know, went to Harvard, and he's in his mid-30s wheels, I think. So, and the dude throws, you know, 85 miles an hour, and he quick pitches. He does all kinds of goofy motions, and he does all kinds of things to get people out and stay in the game when you would never pick him out of a crowd.
But if he was right-handed, he would have been run out of the game.
Good point. How about the guy that plays on the Athletics? I'm kind of hoping this happens in this series either today or tomorrow. The guy that plays in the outfield, he throws left-handed, and when he plays in the infield, he throws right-handed. He's actually ambidextrous. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I got to see that guy play today. I mean, that would be really fun to watch that.
Boy, we ran into a buzzsaw yesterday, didn't we?
Yes, that was not fun. I mean, that was really a tough day. I mean, we're all celebrating a holiday and having fun at the ballpark and a nice crowd and, you know, Nikki Glaser Day. And I had, you know, Greg Warren was up in the booth with us. We had comedy galore, but it wasn't very funny what was going on. It was just an ugly game.
Yeah, I mean, the kid Morales is very gifted.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, you can see why he was a $3 million amateur signing out of Cuba. And, I mean, you can see why. I mean, he's 97, 98 the whole time with good off-speed stuff, and he actually threw strikes. But, you know, I was telling the guys off the air earlier, Rick, this A's lineup can really hit. Like, in 2 years when they move into Vegas, that team's going to be a lot of fun. And yesterday, you had two of their best players weren't even in the lineup.
Yeah.
You didn't have Lang Lears in the lineup or Nick Kurtz, and Kurtz is one of the best hitters in the sport.
Absolutely. And so for them to be, and I actually got through, you know, talking with Chip Carey's son about this, you know, who does their games, you know, it's not like they're playing in a minor league park and that's why they have big home run numbers, because they actually hit more of them on the road.
Right,
so it's not that. I mean, it's real. It's real what they're doing. And, you know, they just you know, flat out couldn't pitch. I mean, for most of the year.
Right.
But if they get these young guys in and can fill in some holes, they'll compete in the West.
Rick, do you see anything with Sonny? Anything structural, or you think he's tired?
Mistakes. I see mistakes from him. I mean, and it's not mistakes like, you know, that are like obvious, crazy, you know, stare you in the face mistakes, but just location issues that. And that's basically what he said, too, after the game. But it's like, you know, you got a free-swinging team that's got a lot of power, and you throw a first-pitch fastball middle in to a guy that, you know, maybe that's all he can hit. And it's like, okay, you're trying to trick him, but you ended up not doing it. You tried to get ahead, but you didn't do that either. And so I think they kind of ambushed him a little bit. And so, you know, Sonny's not been as precise in certain games, and I think that's what hurts him.
What's interesting, Rick, because you bring this up all the time, and I think about it all the time when I'm watching a guy. He had command yesterday. I'm sorry, he had control yesterday. He didn't have
control,
command.
Right, right.
He could throw it over the plate.
That's interesting.
Because he doesn't walk anybody. That's one of his greatest strengths.
It's funny because somebody on Twitter was responding to something I said. And said, what do you mean he has command? Yeah, he's throwing strikes, but he's not getting people out, so command doesn't matter. It's like, no, command is not control. And I think that's a great thing that you bring up. And you know, it was a very good comment that I saw on social media, and I understand what they were saying, but the point is command is more than just control. It's not just throwing strikes. It's throwing strikes where you want it and set up with movement. I mean, you are commanding the strike zone. That is my strike zone, and I'm going to do things in there that you are not expecting, and that's what Sonny's really good at most of the time, and it just didn't work yesterday.
Yeah, if you know, for those that haven't, like, listened to the way it's described by insiders like you, Ricky, because when you hear the insiders, it's normal language, but maybe
fans,
like, control is, if you picture that box on TV, you can throw it in there regularly. That's control.
Hey. Nikki Glaser threw a strike yesterday. Nikki Glaser had
control. Yeah, and then
I wouldn't want her pitching.
You ever see those graphics online? You can see them where that big box, the strike zone, is divided into nine. You know, three high zones, three middle, three low.
Yeah,
being able to work in those little nine boxes, that's command.
Yeah, and actually not staying in the same spot,
right.
Not throwing at the same speed, not making sure there's late movement. All of those things are part of it.
All right, buddy. Have a great game tonight.
Great to chat with you guys. Enjoy.
Welcome back, DGS. A few minutes shy of 2 p.m. Happy Tuesday. So you have something?
Oh, yeah. So this has been a thing for the past hour for me. I'm not typically one to covet thy neighbor's,
donkey.
Donkey, wife, whatever the Bible says. I'm not one to.
You're not
coveter. Yeah, I see the blessings that my friends have been given, and I feel very happy for them for it. The one exception thus far in my life has been Rachel's new chair.
Yeah.
Oh boy, I want that chair so bad.
Yeah.
I am so jealous of this chair.
We got to do this like you do in like public parks. You got to get a chain and tie it to that place so nobody leaves with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because nice things in this room tend to leave.
Let's go backwards. We have terrible chairs in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
They don't match. They're missing arms. They're just rattle traps.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're getting new chairs. In fact, I think they're here.
Oh.
But Rage has like the Captain Kirk chair.
It's nice.
And it's really nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was telling Matt and Tom earlier, I feel like I don't deserve this. Like, it just kind of came out.
But you
do.
Yeah, no, we couldn't agree more.
We just all deserve them as well.
Well, and I also want to make clear to the audience, this is not my chair. It's just the chair at the place where
I work.
You're
the only butt in it.
Yeah, for now.
I mean, no, y'all sat in it. Wheels didn't sit in it.
No.
Sit in it, but
boy, why did Pajeski get bookers on that one?
He was not the booger man. I don't know where
that
booger came from.
That's the new nickname I'm going to have for him now, though.
No, Rachel absolutely deserves the chair. And again, I'm looking at her blessing, and I'm not trying to think why not me, but I cannot. I see it. It just looks so darn comfortable.
Maybe it also kind of
looks like a medical chair sometimes, the way the headrest is.
Just waiting for her to say, take us to warp speed.
Yeah,
Scotty.
I feel like Professor... I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that. Yeah. You do have a little... That's got a little Xavier with that.
Professor
Rusk. Did you forget his one-letter name?
No, I just...
Like Professor G or whatever.
Wheelchair, you didn't want to be
Yeah, I didn't want to be like... Yeah.
That looks as cool as that guy in the wheelchair.
Well, okay, so when I was saying that it looks almost like a medical chair, I was thinking that at certain points today I have looked, and Rachel's kind of sitting in it like, I don't know, she looks like Stephen Hawking or something.
Wow. You don't have to worry anymore, Rachel.
It's a very high-backed chair.
It's super high-backed, and it has the same headrest style that his chair had at one point, and so I just keep looking at it and thinking, Rachel's got a Stephen Hawking.
You two just
chair.
Want to keep going back and forth on this one?
Well, I feel like these chairs are coming for everyone. I highly doubt they just ordered one chair for the whole place, right?
I mean, I bet they only bought one of those chairs.
Well, that would be
weird where I sit, right? Like, if I had the lower table, it'd be, like, super strange.
Yeah, Dave can get that chair, but I think unless that chair can go way, way lower, like, these mics don't raise, so.
Well, this
Kevin's
table
kind
doesn't
of,
either, so.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm surprised Ranji didn't grab this, your chair, and put it here.
Yeah.
That's because Matt gets to the studio first.
Yeah, but Ranji can pull rank over Matt.
I don't know. He might have to fight Matt for that chair.
Yeah, I say he might have to. Nah, my money's on Matt.
Yeah, Matt's got a mustache now.
He does?
Yeah.
Yeah, everything's different now.
I didn't see it.
I know. I looked at him in the face for the first time in like 3 weeks, and I was like, ah!
Man. Poor Matt.
No kidding.
He's just super nice every time we do the switchover, and it's like, you know.
No,
like,
I don't see him that much. I only see him for like 10 seconds a day typically, and it's when we're switching over in here. And I'm doing stuff during that time.
Literally the greatest.
Matt?
Yes.
He's nice.
Yeah, he's the greatest.
He's a good kid.
Yes. He's my son.
Hell of a mustache.
Yeah.
You said that.
Hell of a mustache.
It is kind of a. I haven't seen. How did I not? I saw him, and I didn't see it.
Yeah. You ever had a mustache for any length of time?
Not like for like 4 seconds.
Yeah.
Because I'll do it when I'm shaving just to see what it looks like. And every time it's like, oh no.
The longest I did it was the one and only time I really have changed my beard look was, God, 15 years ago. And I shaved it down to a mustache and a soul patch.
Okay.
That was a terrible
so,
mistake.
So like, isn't that weird though? Like, because what you have now is the classic goatee.
Yeah.
If you just took the bottom part off, you would think that was weird, even though it's like now it's like, yeah, that part's there already. Like it's
right.
It's isn't that strange?
Facial hair is weird.
Yeah.
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 It's one of the last things my mom ever said to me. She looked up from her deathbed and called me close and said, "You'd look so much younger if you shaved that beard off."
I don't even know. I mean, not to disparage what she was saying, I don't even know if that would be true.
Oh, I think everyone looks worse when they shave their beards off.
Do you?
I think so. Unless you're just like a handsome man. You know, if you can just like pull off any look at all.
Yeah.
Beards hide a lot of problems.
Sure do.
I've never had the focus to get through the itchy part.
Yeah. It's been a while since I grew a full beard.
Yeah.
I
just basically
every winter.
Put off shaving for as long as I can and then do it.
I have trouble. I've got fat face. So when I gain weight, it goes straight to my pumpkin cheeks first. And so when I grow up.
I don't know why it makes me laugh when you say it that way.
It's because my head looks like a pumpkin.
I don't think
it's
it does.
Time for Halloween. When my beard grows and it grows straight out, it just adds an illusion that the pumpkin is like there's frost on the pumpkin now. So my face looks even fatter. Hear me out on this.
You have definitely thought this through.
Oh. As soon as I turned on Mike Bush, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Here
it's a pumpkin day.
Here
I'm like, I'm just avoiding a task because I don't want to shave.
It's and you're a
like,
pumpkin day.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief, yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at RedeemHealthShare.org.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.